It's always a challenge for me a little bit. Part of the reason, part of the structure of the talks is so I don't get bored with hearing myself speak week after week. So I try to follow some sequence. So some of you come often, and I try to pay attention to that. And also part of the intention is so that if you've never been in this room before, you understand what I'm saying. And that's always tricky when you're teaching, is to try to keep that in mind. But tonight I wanted to spend some time talking about what's traditionally known as right speech or appropriate speech. And basically the way that we cause harm and the way that we experience harm and the way that we cause suffering and the way that we experience suffering through talking to each other. And what a huge integral part of the practice that can be. And so backing up a little bit, last week I talked about the view or the attitude and then the intention behind everything that we do. So that can be investigated in meditation. Is that before we even open our mouth, before we even say anything, before we talk, we can kind of notice what is the motivation or what is the intention behind it? What is it that's, you know, moving us towards saying what we're saying? And oftentimes we don't even do that. We just talk, 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 talk. And so that kind of puts us in a place where when we start to practice with how we talk, one of the things I wanted to reframe for tonight, because of the fact that I think that so many, when we start to use the practice and start to use the Dharma as a vehicle for recovery, I think that the more appropriate term is just authentic communication. You know, like how authentic are we in our speech? And I think to some degree we learn a lot about being authentic when we start going to meetings or we start entering into recovery, because we get introduced to people actually being real maybe for the first time. I remember a couple years ago when I first moved to Nashville, there was this, I was playing in a band and there was this girl who was one of the bartenders at the place I played music at, and she had gotten a DUI. And she had to go to like some AA meetings for like part of her punishment or whatever for the court. And she knew that I was sober, and she's like kind of off to the side. She's like, "Do you think I could go to one of those?" I was like, "Yeah, I'll take you, sure, no problem." And I remember driving back after the meeting, and she was like totally freaked out. And I was like, "Are you cool?" I was like, "What's going on?" She's like, "I can't believe people talk like that." She was like, "That was really fucking intense." It was like a noon meeting at 2:02. It wasn't even like, I didn't even get that vibe at all. It was just your typical run-of-the-mill meeting. And she was like, "I can't believe," she's like, "I would never tell people, strangers, about that." I was like, "Well, that's probably why you drink all the time." You know, so there was like, I think there's a big intention and a big importance on just kind of working with being a little bit more authentic in our communication. And I think the word communication is better than the word speech now, because of the fact that so much of the communication that we do is nonverbal. So much nonverbal communication. So much digital communication. You know, I bet you that a good percentage of the communication that you participate in every day actually doesn't even require you opening your mouth. Behind the screen, right? So I think that we have to reframe the teachings a little bit to work within our modern culture. And I think that being authentic in your communication is something that takes a long time to be able to do. It takes a lot of work. And it's also one thing that I've noticed has become one of the most liberating practices of all, is actually just talking to another person and actually being real. Like for real, about what's actually going on. And it's actually so rare. How many conversations do you have throughout the day, throughout the week, where you really feel like you were communicating on a deeper level? How much of our communication is just frivolous kind of chit-chat? 80% of it? A lot of it. And so there's a couple things that are helpful to consider. And so the way that I experience language, or the way that I experience communication, is kind of on three levels. And first of all, the first level is the way that I receive communication. Like, how do I receive, if you're talking to me, how do I receive words? How do I receive the tone of an email? How do I receive a text? You know, where am I guarded already in that? Where am I defensive? How do I receive communication? How personally do you take it? You know, how affected are you by things that people say? I bet a lot. I bet more than you'd like to admit. You know? So we can be a little bit more mindful of like how we're taking in what's being said. How we're taking in that text or that email or that communication. How personally we're taking it. How much harm is it causing me right now? You know? When I think about this question, I think about the reality that probably the most harmful things that have ever happened to me in my life are things that people have said to me. Like really, for sure, you know, like really, like the people close to me, the people that were supposed to love me the most, or people in really intimate relationships, is that some of the most suffering that I've experienced in my life were things that were said or told to me. And so when we look at it, if we think about this, we can't deny the danger and the harm and the reality of how much what we say and the way that we communicate causes a huge degree of suffering for ourselves and for others so much of the time. And that's just one piece. So that's kind of the first thing, is to kind of, in your practice, in your experience, in your day-to-day activities, just be a little bit more mindful of like when somebody says something, that lands kind of, notice that. Of course, the other piece of it is how do we communicate? You know, how do we talk? How do we put speech out there? You know, what's motivating what we're saying? How much of it is authentic? How much of it is, I want you to see me a certain way, so I'm going to say this and hope that you hear it like that so I can fucking get this, like, feeling back? How much of it is like that? How much of it is like high school cafeteria? And I'm 38 years old and I still do this shit. Like, when is it going to stop? You know? And so to just totally a huge opportunity for practice around just why do you say what you're saying? You know, what's motivating it? What's the intention behind it? You know, how much harm do you cause? Some of us can be really harsh in the way that we communicate. Sometimes we can actually be really harmful by not communicating. That kind of pulling back, not being authentic with what's going on. You know? Not saying what needs to be said. And so that's another practice around communication. And then the third part, and I think the one that's the most challenging, or the one that also can be just as harmful as the first one, is how do you talk to yourself in your own head, in your own mind? What's the inner dialogue, the self-judgment? That I'm not good enough. That I wish I was more like. The comparing, the judging, the criticizing, the self-harm, the unkind mind. Are you familiar with the unkind mind? How much of that is part of your experience? So that's part of communication. That's part of speech. That's part of language. How do we work with the inner dialogue? You know, and how often does the outer dialogue, the way that I'm talking to you, you know, how much is that actually being informed by what's really going on in here? Oftentimes, there's a huge disconnect. I'm telling you one thing and I'm totally feeling something totally different. But I don't want you to know that. You know, kind of in this statement, I'm famous for this a little bit. you know, I'm having a really bad day, I'm sad, I'm lonely, I'm ready to cry, whatever. Hey, how's it going? Oh, good. Yeah, real good. Totally fine with my life. Totally every area of my life right now is exactly how I want it to look. How are you? Total bullshit. But how often do we do that? Now we can't go around, you know, dumping our shit on the person at the checkout line. But like, but this is like an opportunity when it's the people that we care about, you know? Like I have a friend, one of my teachers and close friends is a teacher in California named Joanna Harper, and she knows this about me. And so like when we talk, or if I do that, oh, I'm doing pretty good. She's like, okay. She's like, so how are you really doing? I'm like, fuck. Then I'm mad that she knows that, because she'll always say that. So how are you really doing? And I always feel it as like that elephant on the chest again. It's like, oh. Especially if I'm not doing so hot. And so, you know, one of the things around communication, around part of the what we call in this community sangha or community or peers, is we really want to be extremely careful and extremely skillful in who we choose to have those types of conversations with. And that becomes a whole nother, I don't even have time to get into that so much tonight, but that becomes a very important arena for our lives, is that who do we spend our time with? You know, who do we invite into those conversations? And if you don't have at least one person that you can invite into that conversation, it can get pretty bad. Again, which is one of the things I'm so grateful for and I've been so inspired by and been so helpful to me about recovery communities is that is so encouraged, right? That's like such a huge part of it, sponsorship or just fellowship or whatever. Just being able to actually find one person. I was such a liar when I got sober. I remember my sponsor. He's like, just stop lying. He's like, just don't lie to me. He's like, you keep lying to everybody else. We'll worry about that later. I was like, it was a relief. I was like, okay, I think I can do that. I was like, I just won't lie to you. Okay, I got it. Everybody else still keep going. Okay, good. It's like, because there was no way I could stop, right, lying, you know. Forget it. So it's important that we have people that we can actually have that authentic communication with. You know, really such a big part of what allows us to actually grow and allows us to actually, oftentimes we have that conversation and we get that, we kind of spill our guts or we let somebody into something that maybe is hard and you get the kind of, yeah, me too, relief feeling. And so this is kind of the tip of the iceberg, is to just kind of reflect in your own experience, in your own life. And the good thing about this practice of authentic communication is like you have so much opportunity. It's not just about this meditation that you do for 10 or 15 minutes a day or half an hour or whatever. It's such a huge part of your life. In the way that the Buddha talks about right speech and in the Eightfold Path, it's the third factor. So as we kind of are a little bit more informed by our views and our attitudes and what we know to be true and what we know to be helpful, kind of getting in line with that and then getting our intentions a little bit more in order, being a little bit more aware of our intentions, trying to have an intention that's a little bit more kind, a little more generous, a little more friendly. That's the kind of ethical component. And these things inform the way that we speak. And he gives us kind of three things that are questions you can maybe ask yourself before you even say anything. This, for me, and I think for many people, is one of the hardest practices, is wise speech or appropriate speech. So it's definitely got to be a practice. And so the first one is kind of the most obvious one, is that, is it true? Is what I'm about to say actually true? You know, is it... some of the things, and so even again with the internal dialogue, some of the things that some of that mean or unkind, judgmental things we tell ourselves actually aren't even true. Maybe it's part of our fear-based system or shame-based system or whatever your tendency is, your harm tendency. You probably know what it is. And so you can kind of like, is it true? It's kind of the first reflection on the way that we communicate. Is this what I'm about to say true? Did it really happen? And even is it true, do I really feel this way if I'm going to say something to somebody? Sometimes we say things, or we're not honest with people because we don't want them to be upset with what we have to say. The people-pleasing, some of you might be familiar with this word. Someone asked me a question, and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to say this because I don't want to be authentic because I'm afraid I might hurt their feelings. Maybe it's actually what they need to hear too, but we hold back. So there's a lot that can be explored from that area. And the next one, is it true? Is it timely? Meaning that it's now the right time for me to be saying this. This is a really interesting practice, I think, around... Sometimes it's not so much what we're saying, it's just kind of what's the situation. Is this an appropriate time to offer this information? Is now the right time for this conversation? You ever notice sometimes you force somebody into a conversation they don't want to have and maybe the time isn't right? Or you're on the receiving end of that? Where you're like, hey man, I'm willing to talk about this, but not right now. And then you get bullied into having the conversation and you end up saying a bunch of shit you regret later. You know, is it appropriate? Is the timing right? Is now a good time to bring this up? You know, is now the right time to have this conversation? Is it... And so that can be an interesting just kind of way to look at communication of like making sure that, you know, is this a 5-minute conversation? Or is this a 3-hour conversation? You know, what's the nature of the conversation we're trying to have or the message that we're trying to convey? Can it be done in a timely manner? Also, I think part of this I've noticed is this a face-to-face conversation or is this a phone conversation? You know, how often do you text something that you actually wouldn't say to the person in their face? You know, we hide behind the little digital screen. You know, so like a lot of times I'll ask myself that question in the timeliness manner of it. It's like, would I say this? If they were sitting right here, would I say it? No, I wouldn't say it. That's why I'm doing this. But I want them to know the information. But I ain't going to fucking... confront them. That would be too uncomfortable for me. So I'll just send them a shitty little email. It's just like, right? So this is like another part of it. You know, is it the right time? Is it the right form of communication, maybe? You know, and also part of it is taking care of yourself. I've had to have some pretty difficult conversations with people over the years, and I've been like, you know what? I actually don't feel safe having this conversation face to face. I actually need to have this conversation on the phone. You know, sometimes we need that, like, once removed so we can actually be authentic to our experience and not get sucked in by their body language or the way that they're looking at us, right? Sometimes there needs to be that, like, oh, this actually needs to happen on the phone. Part of it. You know? And then the third, the Buddha's asking us, is it true? Is it the right time? And the third one, is it useful or is it helpful? Is this information going to move the relationship in a good direction? You know, is this going to be helpful to somebody? You know, is it going to be helpful to me? I find that this is most helpful, this kind of reflection on this aspect of the communication, is the way that I talk to myself in my mind, my thinking, which I kind of experience as talking, don't you? Isn't thinking just talking to yourself? Really? You know, in many ways it is. And a lot of times I'll just be like, this is not helpful right now. You know? And that really helps me with my anxiety a lot of times. I'm like, okay, yes, this is important, but this is not helpful right now. This internal communication, this internal language that I'm kind of giving into right now is actually totally not doing me any good. It's not helpful. And so then I can put that aside. You know, can put it aside. And so this is like, you know, kind of working with just these six pieces alone that I've kind of broke down for everybody tonight. lot within that framework. And so I think that one of the things that feels most important to me, especially when you're looking at this practice from the view of recovery or from that place where we're trying to heal ourselves from whatever, is that the piece around being authentic is so important. You know, being authentic and actually really being, you know, like it says on the coin, that to thine own, to be true to yourself in the way that you communicate. To ultimately, you need to take care of yourself first. And it's actually okay to do that. It's skillful to do that. It's encouraged to do that. But to take care of your heart first in the way that you communicate. And if you can start to develop that, then the rest of your communication, I find, if I'm able to kind of live from that place a little bit more, the way that I communicate with other people just becomes much easier anyway. Because I'm not so dependent upon or so dictated by the praise and blame. You know, the like, I want to say something to you so you'll be happy with me, or, you know, just being aware of those people in your life that you're kind of looking for the praise, or you're looking for the positive. I went through a long, I don't know how long it was, a few years around this practice just with my teacher. You know, when I first met Noah Levine, I kind of had him on a pedestal a little bit because he'd written books, and, you know, him and I had a very similar background, and he was the only Dharma teacher I ever met who had tattoos and swore and did drugs. All the other Dharma teachers I'd known were like college-educated, affluent people, and they would, you know, kind of joke about something, about they had a bad judgment about somebody one time. And I'm like, dude, I used to fucking do all... I'm like, I'm a bad person, man. when I was introduced to Noah, I was like, he was a bad person. Cool. It was like I needed that kind of level of somebody who had been through that same, similar type of suffering. Somebody that I could relate to. And so I really wanted him to like me. Really fucking bad. You know, how many times do you meet people like that? It's like we have that feeling or that attitude. And to just be honest about it, to be real about it. And I was so shady about it, you know. Because I didn't want him to know, you know. It's like I'm in a group with other people. And, you know, it's very awkward and very interesting. And him and I have had this long kind of relationship about him. About him kind of pointing that out to me and being like, I trust you more and I actually love you more when you're being authentic rather than when you're trying to do this other thing. And it was really like, at first it was really painful and it was really hard to work with that. But over the years it's kind of been like, oh, actually it's allowed me to trust that a little bit more. You know, about like being like, oh, actually like, because when we don't present ourselves authentically, we end up hanging out with people who do the same damn thing. And we have all these inauthentic relationships going on. You know, the idea that kind of water seeks its own level. And so if we're putting up some bit of front, we're going to kind of attract that same quality. And as we drop and are willing to be a little bit more vulnerable or a little bit more kind or a little bit more real, you know, we kind of find ourselves connecting with people who are on that level. And then the quality of our communication gets stronger, and the quality of people that we communicate with actually gets much better. You know? I mean, I remember just going through the whole structure of working through the 12 steps. I remember when I first started going to meetings, what did I do? I hung out with all the people who talk shit about all the other people in the meeting after the meeting. That was the people that I decided to hang out with. You know? And I was like slowly moving into the arena of just a better quality of communication. And if we don't have it for ourselves a little bit, if we don't live from that place from ourselves a little bit, it's going to be really hard to find that in somebody else. And one of the things that I've heard that I really like that comes from, there's a researcher, the vulnerability researcher, her name's Brené Brown, some of you probably have seen some of her stuff. But she says this, and I really think it's true, and I've really noticed this, is that as we kind of enter into communication with people, as we kind of move towards wanting to meet somebody or know somebody or feeling somebody we want to spend time with or whatever, friendship or romantic or whatever, it doesn't matter, the nature of the relationship, is that what we're looking for, what she's saying is what we're looking for, is we're looking for authenticity. We're looking for people who are willing to be vulnerable. We're looking for people who are more real and more authentic and more in touch with their heart. We're looking for that. And that's the first thing that we want to see. But what makes it so hard is it's the last thing that we want to show. So what I'm looking for in you is the last thing that I actually want you to see in me. So we kind of are walking around with this sense of being guarded a lot of the times. And if we're not willing to let our guard down sometimes, we're just going to be hanging out with all the other guarded people, right? And once in a while, somebody will get a little bit real, and we'll get a little bit real. We used to do this. My other friend and teacher, Vinny, had a TV show on MTV for a while called If You Really Knew Me. So some of you who have done groups with me, some of the study groups that we've done, I've done this kind of go-around. And this is a very simple go-around where you just sit in a circle, and if you say, if you really knew me, you would know I like pizza. Or if you really knew me, you would know that my teen years were really hard because of blah, blah, blah. And as it goes around, like, as somebody gets a little bit more real, the next person gets a little bit more real. And then 45 minutes into the exercise, everybody's crying. Be like, one time, I'm like... You know, it's like, so it's like there's something about that that we crave on a deep level. That actually we really, really want to have that kind of communication. But, you know, an exercise like that sets it up that somebody will kind of up the ante. And someone will be like, ooh, that dude was getting real, man. It's my turn again. I'm going to say something like for real. And it's just like as it goes around, it's amazing to watch because in 20 minutes people go from their favorite ice cream flavor to the worst thing that ever happened to them and how much it affected them. And it's just watching the human nature of the wholesome desire to actually have a connection. And one of the best ways that we connect is through communication. You know, and so trying to be more authentic with it is such a great practice. And it's such an important practice. And, you know, it's like something that you can do every day. It's not one of these isolated kind of by yourself with your eyes closed practices as much as it's a very engaged dharma. It's very much in the world dharma. So I'm going to stop there.